Well, let's take God's word today and turn to the book of Galatians. Find the book of Galatians. Do you have the word of God in your hand today? Well, it's not my word. It's God's word. You can doubt my word, but God's word is true. God is not a man that he can lie. And every word of this book is true today. We just sang and just heard sung that he's everything to me. Well, if he's everything to you, that means then that you are rooted in Christ. And his life, you're rooted in him, and his life flows through you, and what flows through you comes out of you. We've been preaching on rooted. Why? Our theme for this year for a church. I want you as a church family, I want me as a Christian, I want my family to abound for Jesus Christ more and more. I want to see the work of God advance. I want to see the word of God advance. I want to see the cause of Christ advance in this world. And if it is, and if it will, it's only going to be through Christians who are abounding in Jesus Christ. Now listen, you cannot have an abundance of fruit if you don't have a group of roots that are rooted in the right things. So if we're by the end of the year, if we're going to be abounding Christians, we're going to have to start off rooted Christians. And we're going to have to make sure that our roots are in the ground. Well, how do we know what our roots are in? Last week, I preached on the hidden life. Roots are the hidden life of any tree, of any plant. It is the hidden life that is the most important life. You'll never get an apple from the apple tree if there were no roots getting nutrients from the ground. And you'll only get the kind of fruit based on the soil that the roots are in. And the roots have got to grow out and seek. Jesus told us to seek, and you shall find. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. But seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above and not things below. We are to be seeking the Lord. Now listen, I want to ask you a question. You say, well, preacher, I really am. I believe I'm rooted in Christ. I'm rooted in, I'm saved. Well, you may be saved. You may be saved, but you may not be rooted and growing in Jesus Christ. So how can I tell? Well, what did Jesus tell? He said, you'll know them by their fruits. You see, your fruits are a testimony to your roots. Your visible life is only a testimony of your hidden life. Let me say it this way. Your hidden life will eventually be your outward life. Your hidden life will eventually be your outward life. What you have going on in your heart will eventually come out in your life. Now, I want to ask you a question. Before we read our passage of scripture today, I want to ask you a few things. What is the product of your life? What is the product of your life? What is your life producing? What are you living for? Now, if whatever came to your mind when I just said, what are you living for? If whatever came to your mind, it just popped in your mind, if it was material, if it was family, if it was job, if it was people, let me tell you something. If you're living for possessions or people or promotion or position, let me tell you, you have a carnal root. You're rooted in things that are of this earth. But friend, I want to tell you something. If you are going to live and seek for spiritual things, then what will come from your life will be spiritual things. Let me ask you this question, all right? We're talking about hidden life. We're talking about the roots. They're the deep, hidden things. And today we're going to look at being rooted. And by being rooted, we're going to examine our outward life. We're going to be able to find out really and truly what we're rooted in by examining our outward living. And so I want to ask you a question. What is in you? What is in you? Now, I want to put a statement before you, and I want you to think about this statement for just a little while before I get to the heart of the message. I want you to think about this statement. What your life is in will come out in your life. What your life is in will come out in your life. You see, some people, they want to say, well, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I have Christ in my heart. But when you jostle that person, Christ doesn't come out. Anger comes out. cursing comes out. And I'll tell you why. Because whatever's in you is what's going to come out of you when you're jostled. Let me tell you this. Whatever is down in the well is going to come up in the bucket. So whatever's down in your hidden life will eventually come up through what you talk about, through what you think. It'll become the fruit of your life. It'll be what you're living for. Somebody said, you know, I love Jesus, but you never see them in church. That'd be like somebody say, I love my wife, but you just never go home. Now, I'm just saying today, I want you to think about it. Whatever your life is in will come out in your life. That's why the Bible said to be rooted in Christ. Why? You get your roots down in Christ, so your roots begin to take in Christ. And the more you get your roots in Christ, the more Christ gets into you. And when you get your roots in Christ, Christ gets into you. When Christ gets into you, he comes out of you. And what's in your life? What is your life in? Whatever your life is in will eventually come out in your life. Now let's look at some scripture today. Let's look at the Bible, and then we're going to let the Word of God help us with it. Look over. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then. Paul is giving these Galatians the instruction that they better learn to walk in the Spirit of God. And he said, if you don't learn to walk in the Spirit, you're going to be in trouble. You cannot. He said, how did you begin this Christian life? You began the Christian life in the Spirit of God. Well, then you're only going to be able to go through the Christian life in the Spirit of God. You don't start off in faith and end up in works. You don't start off in the effort of the Spirit and end up in the effort of self. Listen, because if you're going to sow to self, you're going to reap self. If you root yourself in your own effort, you're only going to grow what you can grow. But if you root yourself in Christ, you'll grow what he can grow. Everybody with me so far? Don't ever expect to have any semblance of Christ in your life if you've never had Christ in you. And don't expect Christ to blossom and grow the fruit in your life if you're not rooted in only him. So what is Paul saying? Paul said to them, he said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now this is the truth. If you're a Christian today, you're going to know that verse 17 is a testimony of the Christian life. For the flesh, now listen, when Paul's talking about the flesh, he's not talking about this skin and bones and tendons and muscles and all the corpuscles. He's not talking about your physical body. He's talking about the old nature that you were born with. The flesh is the nature that you were born with. Now, let me tell you, when you were born, your mom and dad did not have to sit you down and teach you how to lie. They had to teach you not to lie. They didn't have to teach you to disobey. They had to teach you to obey. They did not have to teach you to fight. They had to teach you not to fight. They did not have to teach you to be respectful or to be disrespectful. They had to teach you to be respectful. Why? Because you were born with a nature. Now, where'd you get it from? You got it from your parents. Where'd they get it? They got it from their parents. And where'd they get it? It goes all the way back to Adam. For as by one man, sin entered into the world. You don't have to teach a kid to sin. They sin automatically. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that we go from the womb speaking lies. You put that little baby in the crib in there. You tiptoe out. Baby's sleeping restfully. You try to go in and get in your bed to get some sleep. About the time your head hits the pillow, you think there's a boa constrictor strangling that kid. You run in there like there's some death object trying to take that life of that kid. You run in that room, and what do you find? You find that baby still wrapped up in its blanket. Bottle is, the baby's full. It's already eaten. The diaper's dry. There's nothing wrong with that baby. That baby's in there screaming like there's bloody murder. Something's going on. What's that baby doing? That baby's lying. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You pick it up. Boy, it stops crying just like that. The baby tricked you out. Now listen, we go right from the womb speaking lies. We're all sinners. We're born in sin, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Are you understanding that? And now that old nature, the Bible says in verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The word lusteth there means desires. The flesh desires against the Holy Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. Now listen, you have a flesh nature and I have a flesh nature. My flesh nature wanted to stay in bed today. My flesh nature, given anything, if it was given its will, it would do whatever it felt comfortable to do. Now, the flesh is always pulling this way on me, and the Spirit of God is always desiring this way. And if you're saved today, you realize you're in a great tug of war. I've had many people get saved, and they come and say, you know, I just don't know that I'm saved. I never have been in so much turmoil before. I said, well, you didn't have to be in turmoil when you were lost. The flesh already had you. Once you get saved, now the flesh has got an arm, and the Spirit of God's got an arm, and you're being pulled between the two. And if you don't want to go the way of the flesh, then walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse number 18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You know, many people say, okay, well, the only way that I can quiet the beast that's in me is I've got to remind myself, you can't lie, you can't commit adultery, you can't do all these other things, I got to live under this law. Well, listen, you can try to live under the law all you want, and you'll never maintain holiness. The law wasn't given to make people live holy. I hear people say, well, I just do my best to keep the Ten Commandments. I said, well, how's that working out for you? Well, I'm pretty good. Have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah. Well, then you broke the whole law. You broke them all. Now, he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you don't have to worry about a law. Now look down here. Look down here in verse number 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest or made known. The word made manifest means made known. Now, here's what Paul's saying. Now, I want you to understand. Everybody look right up here for just a second. Here's what Paul's saying. Paul's telling the church of Galatia, look, you Christians have a flesh nature. But if you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. And whichever one you root yourself in is what's going to come out of you. And if you want to be rooted in the flesh, then let me tell you what is going to be made known in your life, or what's going to be manifest, or what's going to grow. Years ago, I was visiting in California, and there was a fellow there that had an orange tree, and I took one of the oranges off that tree, and I peeled it, and that was the worst thing I've ever eaten in my life. You know what it's called? It's called an ornamental orange. You know what that means? They're only good for ornamental things. They're worthless. I don't know why anybody would plant them. Now, what they plant them for is because they use those as grafts, and they graft into that tree other trees that would have a hard time. That's more hardy. And so the other trees are not as hardy. They graft in other orange trees into it, and everything above the graft grows into like sweet navel oranges or sweet blood oranges. And it uses that old stock. And listen, your old nature is no good in itself. And so what God did was God grafted you into the Holy Spirit of God. And if you grow above the graft, you'll grow in the Spirit of God's sweet fruit. It'll be made known. But if you grow below the graft, you'll be ornamental oranges, bitter and no good. And he said, here's how you can tell where your root stock is. Here it is. Are you ready? First thing that comes out in your life, watch this. The works of the flesh, verse 19, are manifest. Which are these? What? Adultery. What is adultery? Adultery is any sexual union with anyone other than your marriage partner. Adultery is a work of the flesh. Adultery says, I want something other than what I already have. Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. So what's in the heart? What's in the flesh? The flesh wants to commit adultery. So let me ask you a question. Are there adulterous thoughts? Are there adulterous actions in your life? Are you committing adultery? Are you having a relationship with anybody outside of your marriage partner? Well, let me tell you something. That didn't come from the Spirit of God. That came from the flesh. The next thing he says is fornication. What is fornication? It is any sexual activity before marriage. Now listen. You can get quiet. You can look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. We live in a sexually perverse generation. We're teaching all kind of sexual things to our children in kindergarten. And by the way, you say, well, the public school ought not to be teaching that. Many of them are learning more than that on your television. And when you give them social media and you give them access to anything on the world wide web. Well, my kids wouldn't do that. What would you happen if your parents put that in your pocket when you were 10? They have the same nature you have, by the way. Well, my kids wouldn't do that. Are they your kids? Now, I'm just telling you, we live in this hypersexual age. Everything is pushing towards ungodliness and wickedness and sexual immorality. And you listen to me, that's a work of the flesh. You know, God is not against the sexual marriage. He gave that to man and woman in marriage and gave marriage to protect it. For its sanctity and its purity and its joy. Look at this world. We have more quote unquote sexual revolution and freedom in our world today. I mean, if you want to marry a vacuum, you can marry a vacuum. I mean, we have anything and everything going on. If you want to identify as a whatever, you can do whatever you want. And we live in a world that is unhappy, unsatisfied, angry, mean, despicable. Why? Because it doesn't satisfy. You can go to the depths of the desires of the flesh, and it's always an empty well. You young people, listen to your pastor today. You listen to your preacher today. You keep yourself pure from marriage so you can enjoy what God has given you in that union. God said a work of the flesh, fornication. What else? Uncleanness. You see that there? Uncleanness. What is that? That is the idea of wrong thoughts, an unclean mind, impurity of mind. I'm talking about people that no matter what you say, when it comes into their ears or what they see when it comes in their eyes, as soon as it hits their brain, it's flipped into some kind of filthy thing. An innuendo comes out, some filthy joke comes out, you can't put anything in there. The Bible talks about they've got a pathway in their brain that's unclean. And they need to be regrooved. They need to be repathed. And you can only do that through Jesus Christ, by the way. When I was going through Bible college, I worked at a construction site. They called me the deacon. And they called me a lot of other things. I'd get right in there and sweat and work hard with those guys, bust my knuckles and my back with those guys. But let me tell you what I found out about those fellows. It didn't matter what you said. It didn't matter what we were talking about. Anything you were talking about, they would turn it around as an innuendo and a filthy joke. You know why? They had a filthy mind. Uncleanness. Uncleanness. It's the kind of thing that says, well, I'm not stepping out on my wife, but let me tell you something, but you're feeding your mind on pornography. That's an unclean mind. It's a work of the flesh. Then he says, lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? Lasciviousness is, it literally means a lack of restraint. It comes from the word license. It comes from the word that anything goes. It's just whatever I feel, if it feels good, do it. That's licentiousness. Lasciviousness says it's the pursuit. Lasciviousness has also the idea, not only is it in the context of just an immoral, anything goes sexually, but it also has the idea that anything goes sensually. Whatever feels good to my body is okay. If that means I'm going to seek comfort and laziness and ease, I don't want to have to work, I don't want to do anything, I just want to lay around. Let me tell you something, brother. That is lasciviousness. A lack of restraint. Then we find him saying idolatry. Idolatry, a work of the flesh. Idolatry. You say, well, Pastor, we live in civil America. There's no such thing as we don't worship idols. Oh, yes, we do. Let me tell you something, friend. An idol is anything that you love more, fear more, or serve more than God. You can make an idol out of your job. You can make an idol out of your kids. You can make an idol out of anything that you love more, fear more, or serve more than you do God. Idolatry. I'll tell you what's become a god in America, the almighty dollar. We'll elect anything and everything as long as it promises to give us more money. Don't get quiet on me today. Idolatry. Idolatry. Then we find witchcraft. In other places in the scripture, that same word witchcraft is translated sorcery. Its root word in the Greek is the word pharmakei, where we get our word pharmacy. It has the idea of drug use, recreational or so-called drug use. And let me just tell you something, friend. There is no such thing as recreational drug use. Drug use for the idea of escaping. It offers a promise of a temporary heaven, but it leads to an everlasting hell. It's a synthetic salvation for you to go into a place to escape. And you listen to me right now. Satan is using, the Bible says in the last days, that Satan will use the pharmakei, the sorceries of this world. Can you tell me of a day and age where more people were addicted to more things? Every other commercial on television is a new drug. And if your psychotic medicine isn't working, here's another one to boost it. But be careful, because the side effects of it are all psychotic. Here's this drug to help you feel less depressed. Side effects may include thoughts of suicide, strangulation, jumping off of bridges, putting your hands through meat grinders. Talk to your doctor today. You'll feel better about yourself. And like a bunch of zombies doped out because we can't face reality, we'll try to find us an escape in a pill. Brother, you don't need a black pill, white pill, green pill, big pill. You need the gospel. That's all you need from Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the cure. That's the cure. But here's witchcraft. There was a man by the name of David Wilkerson who used to preach much about satanic influence and Satan warfare. And here's what David Wilkerson said. He said, "I have yet to see a man who is into Satan worship who did not first of all open his mind to mystical experiences through the use of drugs." Men are trying to escape witchcraft, drug use. Then we find not only witchcraft, but hatred. Hatred. Do you hold grudges? You got something in your heart that you got bitterness toward another human being on this planet? You young people, do you have a good relationship with your mom and dad? Or are you angry all the time with them? Hatred in the heart. Then he says, variance. What is variance? Variance means divisions. It means strife. It means a habit of stirring up strife. You ever met people that just always wanted to put people at variance? They just always wanted to stir up things. If they got into a relationship, you may have had a relationship with a friend, but when this other person comes along, they're always stirring the pot in that. You ever met somebody that they're the pot stirrer? That's a work of the flesh. They like to just keep things stirred up all the time. Then the Bible says emulations. The word emulations means jealousy. It's a jealousy that's driven by selfishness. Jealous of what other people are and what they have, and just always looking out to emulate other people. It's this idea that gets you, by the way, it's why some of you are so far in debt up to your eyeballs, because you've wanted to have what everybody else has, and you've charged yourself to the hilt. Because you wanted to emulate them in their life. It's emulations. Let me tell you something. God didn't make you to be them. God made you to be you. Emulations. Wrath. Wrath is a deep burning down inside, a desire to get revenge against other people. I'll get them back. They'll pay for what they did. There's just a wrath in your heart. Strife. What is strife? It's a fractious spirit. Those that like to gender strife. These are the kind of people that split churches. They just like to argue. They just like to be at odds with everybody else. These are the kind of people that break up homes. These are the type of people that always cause fights in the neighborhood. It's full of strife. Somebody cuts you off and you want to jump out of the car and bash in their headlights with a baseball bat. That's not Jesus in you. That is the flesh. You say, "Nah, I just have a bad temper." No, it's you just are bad. It's the flesh. By the way, can I tell you something? How many of us, we all have this in us? Amen. Seditions. Look at that word, seditions. What are seditions? Seditions means to stand apart. These are the people that separate themselves into cliques. They want to stand out away from everybody else and think they're better than other people. Seditions. They never incorporate themselves into the group. They stand on, they come to church, but they sit on the fringe. They always consider themselves as an outsider. They look at the church and they want to know, what does this church offer me? How is this church going to reach out to me? They never assimilate themselves into the group. They're always on the outside looking in. Heresies. What are heresies? Heresies are false doctrines. They're meant to stir the pot. People that come in and they want to argue about all kinds of things that aren't essential to the Word of God. Envyings. That's a dissatisfaction with what you have. It's a spirit of covetousness. It's people who possess no spirit of thanksgiving. It's not just wanting more. This idea of envyings, it's not just rooted in wanting more. It's wanting what somebody else has. It's envying. Murderers. You say, well, I've never killed anybody. Well, Jesus said, if you hate somebody, you've already committed murder. You've got a heart full of hate and anger. Drunkenness. Drunkenness. What is that? That is giving over to desensitize in the mind through the use of drink or drugs. It's in a state of trying to escape reality through drink. Drunkenness. Let me tell you something, friend. The Bible tells you very clearly, plainly, be not drunk with wine. He says in the book of Proverbs, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You say, well, I'm not deceived by it. Well, yes, you will as soon as you begin to drink it. To think that, you know, these whole beer commercials, you know, Budweiser. And by the way, let's give the devil his credit. The best commercials on television are always the beer commercials. You see all these guys with their strong muscles and their abs and all this on the beach. These girls running around. And by the way, I've never seen anybody who's addicted to booze look like that. They're always unshaven, sitting in their driveway with a beer belly hanging out of a ripped T-shirt. That didn't look anything like the commercial. But they're not putting that on the television. Now I say, drink responsibly. Well, I'll tell you one of you, let's just flip it around. Be responsible, don't drink. Oh, Japanese have an old proverb that says, first a man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. Revelings. What is revelings? That's the let's party attitude. Revelings are people who are always trying to quiet their conscience by escaping by means of entertainment. They want to go out and always be, let's go do this. Let's go hang out here. Let's go to the movie. Let's go do all these things. Let's go revel and let's always party. It's always a party. Let's all party. Why? They're trying to shut down the voices of their conscience. By the way, I want to say this too. Revelings. This also has the idea of people who cannot hold a serious thought. Life is always about the next big laugh and the next big party. And I'm seeing a spirit of reveling in many of the young people of our generation today. They can't be serious about anything. There are young people in this church, I'll preach on Sunday. They'll go to school on Monday and they'll laugh about things that I say in the pulpit. They'll make jokes about things and memes about it. It's the meme generation. Everything's a meme. Everything is funny. Everything is supposed to make you laugh. Let me tell you something. There are some things, brother, you're to be sober-minded about it. There's some things you're to be, they are deadly serious. And by the way, one of these days when all the gray haireds die and the millennials take over this generation, they're going to find out. There were some things that mattered. There were some lines that they wanted to blur that really mattered. And grandpa wasn't as ignorant as they thought. But by that time, it'll be too late. By the way, I want to just say a word of warning to you young people. Some of the things that you laugh at today, you'll never be able to take serious tomorrow. You make a mock of God and his things, you'll never be able to take him serious again. And only in the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And I want to say something to you right now. If you want to fear God, you'll have to fear nothing else. If you'll learn to fear God, you'll have to fear nothing else. You say, well, preacher, there were 17 things mentioned there, and he missed me on every one of them. Well, that's why he closes the list, and such like. If you got anything in your life that resembles any of that, you're rooted in the flesh. The outward life, if it's any of that, is all the flesh. And he said, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Now let me tell you something, friend. I don't have time to go through all this today, so you need to listen quick. Whatever your life is in is going to come in your outward life. If your life is rooted in the flesh, it's going to come through these things. It's going to be made known through these things. That's going to be the fruit that other people pick from your life. But I want to tell you something right now. You can have a life living in the Spirit. And the Bible says this, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I know what some Christians say. Some Christians say, wait a minute, we got to put some laws on all these things. We got to make some laws and regulations about all this. Now, the Bible did not say, we got to make some do's and don'ts. You know, Christians don't do this, and they don't do this, and they don't do this, and they don't. And that's true. But wait a minute, listen to me very carefully. The law will never make you more like Christ. The law is not a way to holiness. Christ is the way to holiness. So some people view this as that we better put some laws down on everybody. Well, let me tell you something, friend. The Bible did not say, don't walk in the flesh and you'll be filled with the Spirit. He didn't say that. He didn't say, don't be filled with the works of the flesh and you'll automatically be filled with the Spirit. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not getting out of that. It's getting the Spirit of God in you and rooting in Him, because what you're rooted in is going to come out in you. Whatever your life is in is going to come out of your life. So if you're in the Spirit, then it's going to come out of you. Let me show you a couple things very quickly, because he's talking about the works of the flesh are made known, but also the life of the Spirit. Now, I'll be finished in just a minute. I want you to hear this. First of all, if you're going to have a life rooted in the Spirit of God, there must be a beginning. There must be a beginning. What does that mean? Well, first of all, the Bible says Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. He said about the Spirit. He said, if you've been born, you've been born of water. You have natural birth, but you've got to be born again of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's got to bring conviction to your soul about who you are, and you respond to that by faith in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you are born again into a new life. But wait a minute. We're not talking about just the indwelling of the Spirit. When you got born again, the Spirit of God came into you. But that doesn't mean that you're rooted in Him. The Spirit of God may be in you, but you may be walking in the flesh. The Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit. There has to be a beginning. Now listen very carefully. Having a Spirit-filled life and being rooted in the Spirit is not a matter of willpower. It's not a matter of just saying no to all these other things. But it is a matter of the will. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? What do you mean by it's a matter of the will? It means that you have to, by your will, surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. You have to surrender. You see, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he's using this as a comparison. Don't get drunk with wine to excess, but be filled with the Spirit to excess. Now, he uses that as a comparison. Why? What are you talking about? You see, when a man sits down, he has to, by his own will, decide to drink. When he decides to drink, eventually the drink begins to decide for him. And before long, when the drink makes all the decisions, this man is totally given over to the control of the alcohol. That's when he's saying, that wasn't me, that was the wine talking. That's a man now given over. Now, what's a man who's drunk like? He's walking different than everybody else. He's out of step with everybody around him. He talks different than everybody else. I said, man, how do you know to do that? I have deacon's meetings. He walks different and talks different. And I'll tell you what he does. He'll sing to the top of his lungs. So I always concerns when I come to church and I see Christians not singing. You might not be filled on the Spirit then. Bible said he'll sing. What else will he do? He'll walk in there. He'll be the littlest guy. And he'll pick the biggest guy. I'll take you, boy, let me tell you.
I can whoop him. Let me at him.
Boy, those guys are bold. They're bold. The Bible says, who has wounds? Without cause, they that tarry long in the wine. Wake up the next day, got black eye. How'd that happen? Well, you picked the biggest guy in the bar to fight with. I did. Well, you didn't, but the thing you were drinking did. See, you chose to sit down and fill your life with that. When you filled your life with that, it began to take over your life. And the outflow of your life was what was on the inflow. Now listen to me. He said, by the same principle, when you choose to let the Spirit of God fill you, then the Spirit of God begins to choose for you. And that becomes the outflow of your life. By the way, when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll walk different than everybody else. You'll talk different than everybody else. You'll have a boldness like nobody else. You'll sing like nobody else. You'll give like nobody else. A guy goes to the bar because he's worried about his finances. He gets in and has a few drinks and he's buying everybody around. I mean, he's at home fighting with his wife. I don't know how we're going to make it. You spend all the money. I'm going to the bar. Boy, he gets drunk and he's like, everybody drink over here. Get one for all my friends. Then you get to church and somebody said, you know, I'm saved. Jesus shed his blood for me. But boy, I tell you what, I'm not giving a tithe. Walk in the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is in, when you've made a conscious wisdom, listen, there's got to be a beginning. Have you ever, since you've been saved, have you ever just knelt down and said, right here it begins today, I'm submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm surrendering to the indwelling Spirit. From now on, you're the master. I'm walking in you. I'm choosing to be filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, fill me, every part of me, and let it flow from my life. You see, there has to be a beginning. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and all that. Well, how did we begin to grow that fruit? When we begin to walk in Him. I want to say, second of all, very quickly, there must be a boundary. You said, what do you mean? Listen to what he said. Walk in the Spirit. You see, there's not just a license to do whatever you want. It's not about you. It's about Him. You walk in the Spirit. Now, if I told you today, hey, I want you to walk in this building. Well, you could go wherever you wanted to go in here. There's liberty to go anywhere you wanted to go as long as you were in the building. Well, God said, I want you to walk in the Spirit. The boundary is there is a boundary. You don't step outside of the things of the Spirit of God's. So if the Spirit of God doesn't want you to say it, you don't step outside that boundary and say it. If the Holy Spirit of God doesn't want you to go there, you don't step outside the boundary and go there. If the Holy Spirit of God wants to move you this way, you don't step out of the boundary and say, I'm not going. You walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit within the boundaries of the Holy Spirit of God, He will then fill you and you will be in Him. And watch this, watch this. Then you're walking in. And the Bible says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. He's talking about there, if you read the context, he's talking about being Spirit-filled. The word rule there means literally where we get our word referee. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit referee in your heart. So when you begin to go somewhere, the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. That's out of bounds. Oh, yes, sir. Step back in bounds and stay in the game. Walk in. There's got to be some boundaries. You know, I'm always worried about Christians who say that they know Jesus, but there are no boundaries in their life. The Holy Spirit of God is only going to lead you in the will of Christ. You must let the Word of God dwell in you and let the Holy Spirit of God rule in you and referee you. I promise you right now, if you husbands and wives would sit down sometime and talk, and you would let the Holy Spirit be the ref, wrath and anger and malice and hatred would not come out, but love and joy and peace and gentleness and long-suffering and forgiveness would. I want to say lastly today, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, if you're going to have an outward life of the fruit of the Spirit, there must not only be a beginning and a boundary, but there must be, I like this, there must be a balance. See, all through the Bible, the Christian life is referred to as a walk. As a walk. Well, do you know what a person has to have to walk? He has to have balance. I remember several years ago dealing with one of the ladies in our church who got a terrible case of vertigo. She said, preacher, I can't hardly sit. I can't hardly stand. I can't hardly lay down. Bless her heart. There'd be times at church, it would be time to stand and sing. She'd stand and sing, and she'd start going sideways and bumping the person next to her. And she was losing her balance. Now, if you're going to walk, if a person's going to walk, it requires 2 feet. The steps of a good man, it requires a balance. One step, this step. One step, this step. Now, let me just say this and we'll be done. Paul equates us back in the book of Galatians, earlier in the book. He says, how did you begin this walk? In the flesh or in the spirit? They said, in the spirit. And Paul began to talk about the 2 steps of salvation. What are they? What are they? Here's how you have a balance. Repentance, first. Faith, second. Do you know how you keep a spirit-filled life? By the same steps. Repentance, faith. Repentance, faith. You know, when I got saved as a child, I really didn't know all there was about sin. I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't know how bad. I'm 44. I now know how bad. I've done a lot more repenting after I got saved than I did when I got saved. All I know is that when I was a boy, I went down on my knees and I gave everything I knew of me to him, and I took everything I knew of him in me. And can I tell you something? Quite frankly, I didn't know much about either. I didn't know a whole lot about me, and I didn't know a whole lot about him. But through repentance and faith, I came to know Jesus Christ. And as I've begun this walk to grow in him, I can only grow in him as I repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent. You see, what is repentance? Repentance in the scripture is simply this. It's God's way of revealing myself to me. I'll tell you something. You want to be humbled? You just go ask God to let him see, let God allow you to see you as he sees you. God, let me see me for what I really am. Wow. No wonder Jesus had to die like he died. Do you know how much sin is in me? I come to God and God lets me see it that way. But wait a minute. That's not all he did. God didn't just let me see me as I am. Then the faith comes in where he lets me see Jesus as he is. When I see me as I am, I lose all confidence in the flesh and I see Jesus for who he is. I gain strength in him. What did Paul say? Paul said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul said, every time I look at me, I die. I crucify that on the cross. I want that old man to die for its sins. But then, that's repentance. But then I turn by faith in the Son of God and I say, let him live in me. And there's that repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. And that keeps a man in a balanced, spirit-filled life. You see, some people can become so good as a Christian, they get proud of themselves. But if you stay in the Spirit of God, he'll reveal to you what you really are, and he'll reveal to you who Christ really is. You'll repent of the one, and you'll have faith in the other, and you'll just keep walking on for Jesus, and walking on for Jesus, and walking on for Jesus. And what'll come out of your life? What'll come out of your life? What you've been walking in. If the Spirit of God is in you, he'll come out of you through love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. But if you're walking in the flesh, what'll come out of you? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, lasciviousness, hatred, seditions, murders, wrath, revelings. Let me ask you a question today. What's your outside life? What is your outside life? What's the fruit of your life? What are you living for? What are you rooted in? What's coming out? Church, I want us to abound this year, but if we're going to abound, we're going to have to be rooted deep in Christ. And if you want the fruit to grow on the outside, you better get the root to grow deep on the inside. Let's be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Lord Jesus, I don't know